scent that we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
All right, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. And today I'm going to be joined here in a few minutes by my friend Alejandra. And we're going to talk about the creative process and how do you learn how to create? Can you learn how to create? Are you born a creator? Like, what does that process look like? So we're going to get that from her perspective, as she is a graphic designer and a podcaster, which are two of my favorite things. My wife is a graphic designer and I'm a podcaster, so she's my wife and I together at the same time. Anyway, that's getting really weird. But before we jump into it, I want to get some house cleaning, house stuff out of the way, whatever this means. If you are on Clubhouse and you've been listening to us on Clubhouse, beginning next week, we are not going to stream on Clubhouse. So click the link in the little pinned link section and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook or Twitter or wherever else we're streaming to, Twitch, YouTube, and subscribe to one of those channels, because we are not going to stream audio over there anymore. We're going to finish up this week. So that is a little bit of that. Now, anyway, enough of that stuff. Just want to make that announcement. And as always, to kick the show off, we got
Creator Highlights.
No cooking necessary. No assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, this week our creator highlight is brought to you by OneSheet Pro. So if you're watching the video, go to onesheet.pro/Billy Thorpe to go check it out. It is a creator profile. It is a press kit, media kit, all those fun things. So if you want to get booked on more shows as a creator, go to OneSheet and set that up. And then the beauty is you can also get paid from just being on the platform as people, because it has an auto affiliate program that you can sign up for. So there you go. So you can get paid for that. So if you go to OneSheet, so that's the number one, sheet.pro/Billy Thorpe, if you're listening, or if you're somewhere close, there's a link by with some show links. That's going to take you to my OneSheet Pro. You can check it out. You can see what I've done with it. And then you can scroll down the bottom, click on OneSheet, and if you buy the pro version, there's a free version, but if you buy the pro version, I get a small commission. So today's creator highlight goes to Andrew Russo. I don't really know much about him, but he's a comedian that I follow on Instagram, and I was just finished laughing at one of his videos, and I thought, you know what, this is pretty awesome. So I've invited him on the show, and then also I wanted to highlight him as a creator. Super funny guy, makes some really funny skit videos on Instagram. But I will say, wear some headphones if you got little ones running around, because some of it can get a little wild, but I can't help but to laugh. I think it's so funny. So, all right, so that's a little creator highlight for you, and now we got some
news. That's news to me.
Creating Daily. All right, it looks like that YouTube could potentially be getting into the podcasting game. According to Pod News, which if you don't follow Pod News, just do it, okay? They get a daily podcast talking about all the podcasting news, and I just got this in my inbox this morning from Pod News that there's not been an official statement from YouTube, but they did send out an extensive guide or like some extensive information, a packet of information, document that was sent to some media outlets to talk about YouTube and podcasting and maybe even potentially putting RSS feeds on their platform. So there you go, YouTube or podcasters. Maybe YouTube cares about you now. Maybe they care about us. I get a lot of people from YouTube to watch my other show, not this show in particular because we just started it, but my other show. That's where I feel like a lot of our audience came from. So now if YouTube puts a little focus on that, that's going to be really awesome. Really excited about that. So keep your eye out for new opportunities in your on your account there for your podcast to go, the actual RSS feed to go onto YouTube. So pretty cool. But once again, that's just a couple little segments to break up the show. But I want to jump right in here with my friend Alejandra. And she's joining me from all the way over across somewhere else in the world, and we're going to get to all that. But she is a graphic designer. She's a podcaster, and her podcast is called Do I Need School to Be... I love this question. Do I need school to be a doctor, a graphic designer, a website developer, all those fun things. So anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to bring my friend Alex on. Alex, how are you? Good to see you. Don't answer because I haven't unmuted you yet because I always forget to do this. And there we go. Perfect.
Hey, Billy, I feel so heard now that I'm on mute.
Unmute it. Sorry. It's a Wednesday?
I think it's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's a Wednesday.
Yeah. I feel so heard. I feel so seen.
And you should. You're here. You're on the Creating Daily Show. All 12 people are watching us right now.
I know. I'm so excited. Hey, 12 people is 12 people. If there's something that I've learned from you, Billy, it's that an audience is an audience. It doesn't have to be gigantic. It can just be a few good people listening to you. Why not? What is the problem with that?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you just got to have, that's it. Just find your people. Slow and steady growth is always good. So don't have to be in a hurry to do that. So Alejandra, take us through, and I'm going to probably go between Alejandra and Alex and whatnot. It's just, just how I am. So,
yeah, it's fine. Both are good.
All right. Perfect. All right, cool. So take us, before we jump into, you know, can we learn to create or how do we learn to create, take us a little bit through your creator journey, how you got to the point of being in graphic design and podcasting and all the multi-hyphen things you do as a creator.
Well, it's a little background story. Oh, that's complicated. Well, so, did I lose you? I don't know if I lost you. Okay, I'm on air, so I'm getting this still. Oh, there you are.
No, We're still here. You just see what I see. Sorry, okay. I didn't tell you that before.
Okay, cool. Well, so I am Alex or Alejandra. The reason that I use those two names is because I'm originally from Ecuador, so from Latin America, but I live in a Dutch-English speaking country. So for a lot of people, it's way easier to just go by, like, call me Alex, because also that's why my grandparents called me when I was little, so I'm fine with that. But yeah, so I'm a graphic designer. I have 2 degrees. I have one from, it's called an Opleiding in Dutch or an Ausbildung in German, which is a technical degree in graphic design. And I did that when I failed out of German high school because I wanted to go into engineering, because in Latin America, being a creator, it's basically you want to starve to death, or that's the idea that it's put in our heads. So I decided, okay, I want to create something, but in a more financially sustainable way. So I wanted to go into engineering. Then I decided, okay, engineering might not be my deal since I fell out of school. And I went into this graphic design program. And I went there for 3.5, I did that for 3.5 years. Then I went to work in this big, big data company where my job was to create infographics. I love infographics. They're super fun. They're super interesting. But I didn't feel very challenged creatively. I was like, okay, I'm making the same thing over and over again. It's great. It has value, but I don't really feel that creative. So I decided to go back to school and get my second degree as a graphic designer in a very artsy art academy in the Netherlands. And I've been freelancing ever since and discovering more avenues to create by creating a podcast. I also do service design, which is create services, actually, like creating services, which is something weird. Like, we don't think about it. We always think creative things are super artsy. And I think that's what challenges a lot of people. They're like, I cannot write a symphony, therefore I'm not creative. I cannot paint a portrait, therefore I'm not creative. But creativity comes in so many shapes and sizes and ways. And it's about making connections and finding new avenues. So that's actually the point of my podcast, that everybody can be creative, and just how we become creative, how to learn how to be creative. I think a lot of them are focused on these amazing artists, and I love learning the stories about amazing artists. But I'm also very curious about how other people became creative, how creativity is taught, how we learn that. And yeah, I think that's a little bit. I don't want to get too far ahead of the show.
No, you're good. I love that story.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, I love that story. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that my wife is also a graphic designer, and she actually went through nursing school and was almost finished with nursing school. And then I think someone spit their false teeth into her hand for her to clean them. And then she was like, you know what, this isn't really for me. And so she went, you know, left nursing school, went to a graphic design. Actually, it wasn't really like, I think it was like video game design, that type of program, graphic design, video game, Illustrator, all that kind of fun stuff. And so that's what she did. She went back to school. And I find a lot of creators have that same or, you know, people who are interested in more the artsy creativity, we'll kind of talk about that, and then we'll go into how most stuff, and I mean, I think everything in life is creative or can be, but I find a lot of people have that mental block, and maybe it is taught in our society, like, artists are poor, creators are poor, if you want to be poor, then you do this. But I don't know when it flipped, but I know my wife makes really good money as a graphic designer. And so I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Maybe she took a different route. I guess you were told that as well. That was, seems like it was kind of your story as well. Like, but did you know from early on that you were a creative, so to speak, an artsy creative?
Well, I was always told that I was. So if you ask my grandparents, they'll say, like, I always knew that she was creative. My parents were actually, like, I always had a very strong imagination. My parents were actually scared of me at one point, because I remember when I was little, I had this book in school. It was called Blue Planet. And I came up with the story that I had a family in Blue Planet. And when my mom told me, like, you have to eat broccoli, I was like, well, my mom in Blue Planet never makes me eat broccoli or this and that. And my imaginary friends were not something that I kept secret. Like, I would say to my parents, oh, don't sit there because my little brother is sitting there. And my mom was like, is she seeing ghosts?
Wow.
Should we worry about this?
So you had a whole, like, alternative family on a different planet in your mind when you were a little kid. That's cool.
Yeah. And I didn't hide it. My dad was more of that. She will grow out of it. If she doesn't, then we need to have a seance or, like, throw holy water on her, but she will grow out of it. But that was always the thing. I always wanted to do something creative. Like, in school, I always leaned toward drawing, leaned toward making things, and, like, telling stories. And it was really fun for me, like, getting an assignment in school for, like, writing assignment. I love that. Or watching movies, or always, like, I have always a very active imagination. You know, the thing that everybody does, that you have an argument with somebody and you create scenarios and you're like, oh, I should have said that. I should have done that. I should have done, like, I take that into overdrive. I come up with a whole scenario and story and different possible alternative futures and or past because the argument passed. But still, like, so I always knew, or I always wanted to do something creative. The question was, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to support myself? Is it possible? And I totally agree with you that every job is creative. I mean, I am not supporting creative accounting. Creative accounting, it's kind of a dicey term. Wait, but if you think about it.
Yeah, right? Like, I know I want my accountant to be creative. That's for sure. Get me paying less taxes.
As long as they make it legal, I'm completely fine with creative accounting. For example, I am a German citizen because I lived in Germany for a very long time. And I remember clearly when I graduated from school, I needed to change my visa to a job searching visa, which I was so mad. I paid.
I think your internet may have dropped out here. All right, we're going to see if we could get Alejandra back on. Sorry about that. I think her internet just dropped out. So we will resume accordingly. So we're talking about, just to kind of reset the live stream a little bit here while we're waiting, is we were talking to Alejandra about the, can you be a creative? Can you learn how to create? And so we were just kind of getting some backstory from her, and hopefully she can jump back in here really quickly with us. These things tend to happen sometimes when you're live streaming, so it is what it is. But I will take this opportunity to remind you that if you're watching or wherever you're watching at, there's a link near you, so you can click that link and go find out more about our daily show. And I believe here she is, so I'm going to try to pull her back in real quick here. If it's going to let me. Oh, no. I don't know if Ecamm's going to let me. We'll see. All right. I'm gonna drop you out again, Alejandra, and see if you can jump back in. It's not letting me bring you into the... Oh, man. It's not letting me bring her in. But maybe if she can't get in this time, I'll have her jump into our clubhouse room, and we'll bring her audio through in there. All right. So let's try one more time here. All right. It's not letting me. So, Alex, it's not letting me bring you into Ecamm for some reason. If you don't care, if you have your phone by, if you want to jump into the Clubhouse room, I can just bring your audio through there if you want. We can just go audio for the rest of it, if you can hear me here. So, if not, I don't know why this is doing that. So, anyway, so we're waiting for her to jump back on. I don't know, something wrong with the internet. Between my connection or her connection, we both agreed that maybe our internets weren't the best, but it's part of it. So while you're waiting, or while we're waiting for her to jump into the Clubhouse room here, if I can, I think she's going to jump in here in a second. Be sure to click the link near you. Go to creatingdaily.live. You can check out all the links there, the one sheet, all that kind of fun stuff, and get a list of where we go live at as well. So hopefully she'll jump into the Clubhouse room and we'll continue our conversation about creativity, kind of getting some of her backstory, and then we're going to jump into some ways that you can learn how to create. All right, let's see. One more time here on Ecamm. Let's see. All right, let's see if it'll do it this way. All right, now let's jump back over. All right, I think it's working.
Yay, I restarted my internet. So can you hear me at least? My picture is still like lagging, but yeah. If you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you and we can see it is lagging a little bit on my end, but no worries. We can continue on the conversation. So you were
perfect.
So I don't know exactly what point you're at. You're telling me that you're a German citizen, and then I think that's where
I'm at.
Yeah,
I'm at the visa thing.
Yeah, I'm at the visa thing.
Yeah, so I had to switch visas, and I remember that I went to the immigration office. Yeah, that's what you call it, immigration office.
Yeah.
And my caseworker was super nice, and she said, like, okay, you don't fall specifically into any category, so I have to come up with something for you. What exactly do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I want to find a job. I want to support myself. I want to work. I find my real job. So my real open quote, close quote job. And she just took this book with all these statements and started just highlighting, okay, this applies to you. I'm going to photocopy this and we'll patch that in and we'll take that and we'll take this. Wait, how old are you? Does this apply? Yes, this applies to you. Wait, this doesn't apply to you. So I thought she was being very creative in that moment. She saw that I had a problem. She learned what I needed. She asked me questions. And she figured out a way. She made connections in the system that would work for me. And that's a creative process. So This person who works in an immigration office, a highly bureaucratic job that we would never see as creative, was actually extremely creative in how she did her job. So creativity can be in anything. It's not just the fine arts. It's how you present yourself. You can be a human resources worker and make a creative onboarding process for new employees at a large company. You can work at a sandwich shop and make really creative compositions with your art, which is sandwiches. Yeah. So yeah, it's, and that's the thing about your process, the show that I was with, creating daily. You can create daily. Just because it's not a masterpiece doesn't mean that you're not creating something.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you brought that up, because I think a lot of people, you know, who, and I know people who are creators in the sense of like the popular term that we live in the world that we live in right now, of just being a podcaster or an artist or a graphic designer or a live streamer or whatever. People go, well, they do that, but then they also have this 9-to-5 job, but they're like, I'm not really a creator because I'm working 9-to-5. I'm like, no, you are a creator. Like you're going home and you're making stuff and you're a painter and you're an artist. And so I know a lot of people who don't think that they're creators, but they're doing such creative things and making furniture and painting their house. I mean, like, that to me is a creative thing, to pick out paint colors and make everything match. Like, it's very creative, you know? So it's like, so I think for people listening or watching, it's like, it's really, you know, important for you. If you're stuck on this, am I a creator? Am I not? I would just throw this, you know, yes or no out the window and just say everyone is a creator to some extent. I mean, I feel like that's pretty fair. So let's go through the process of how do you learn how to create, because I'm a creator in the sense of problem solving, thinking about, you know, ways to get technology and things to work together. I don't feel like I'm a creator in the sense of, I'm the guy that's going to innovate the next Rodecaster Pro competition. You know what I mean? So, but do you feel like people can do that? Or is it like, you know, like I have, and I'm trying to frame this up the right way and maybe, you know, bring it together, is I have friends of mine that are athletes. And they are just like, from the time they were able to walk, like super athletes. And then I'm just like, man, they're so great at it. But for me, if I want to be an athlete, I got to like work my tail off to figure that out. Do you feel like that's the same thing for creative people and graphic designers and podcasters, since we'll kind of stay in our lanes here?
Well, I think there's a series of skills that you need to learn. There is a learning curve, a process of just learning skills to become a certain thing, figuring out your niche. It's a whole process to become a, let's call it a certified creative. And then there is the question, is somebody paying you for it? Then that's also a key question. Is somebody, I think, you know what, let me put it this way. You're a dad, right?
Yep.
You have a really adorable son. I love when you post about him on Instagram because I think he's hilarious. You're a dad, but you're also so many other things. You are also a husband. You also have friends. So you're also a friend. You are somebody's kid. Maybe you have siblings. I don't know if you have siblings, but you're so many things. And being a creator is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, in society, I think that we're told that if you don't put all your eggs in the creative basket, then you're not a creative.
Wow. That's good.
Being a creative, yeah, it's a part of so many things. Like we're such a collection of experiences and things. And if you can make being creative the main part of your life, make it your job, because also society makes us identify with our jobs. It's, you don't say, I work in medicine. You say, I'm a doctor. You don't say, I work in graphic design. You say, I am a graphic designer. And if you say, I work in, it sounds almost like you're less committed to it. Like you're not giving it 110% because you say I work in.
Yeah.
But we don't think about that in other ways. We don't say, I mean, if you don't tell me you're a dad, doesn't mean that you're less a dad because you didn't mention in one conversation that you're a dad. You're still a dad. You still do all those things. And you're still a combination of all these objects. So in the sense of being a graphic designer, there are a set of skills that you can learn. And that's what education is for, teaching you skills, helping you find your path, helping you find what parts of graphic design you like. Like I personally don't like making logos. I am a rare breed of graphic designer who doesn't like making logos. I just don't enjoy it. There are other people, and shout out to Made by James. James loves making logos and I own one of his books and he's so passionate about it. And you can read his passion in his text about how meticulous he is, how everything is precise. I have friends who can spend a year working on a book, not on the content of the book, but how every page will be designed. And you see, you feel it. You look at something and you feel there's a level of care here.
Wow.
That this person has. To me, my passion in creating is in talking to people, in figuring out what their problem is, what their needs are, and how I can use creative ways of solving their problem. Maybe the solution will be a graphic design solution. Maybe the solution won't be a graphic design solution and I'll need to resort to other creatives that are more skillful than I am. So that's also a creative process of being like, what do I have available right now for me and my resources?
Yeah.
And with taking it to podcasting, some people hate editing. Some people are geniuses at editing. Some people like doing the interviews. Some people hate doing interviews. That's also a thing. Some people just like having monologue podcasts in which they talk to themselves, which I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a friend always.
And well, yeah. One thing I want to jump
in his podcast, he describes shows.
Yeah. One thing I want to jump in here real quick. And I think it's really important that we kind of highlight this a little bit is our society has really taught us to go through school. And I, you know, in the States anyway, it's go through K through 12. And then by the time you get to like halfway through, like in sixth grade or seventh grade, you got to like really figure out what it is you want to do for the rest of your life. It's like a 12-year-old or 13 or 14-year-old. And you're like, You're like, what am I doing? You know, like, I remember thinking this in seventh grade. They're like, what do you want to do for college? I'm like, dude, I literally just figured out how to wipe my own ass. Like, I literally did. Like, I'm probably just now getting good at that. So I don't know what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like, this is insane. And so, you know, I think so many times we put that pressure on and we have these career, you know, this career-minded, like, you know, society that goes like, you got to be this and you got to be it for the rest of your life. I've been a lot of things in my 20s. I've been a lot of things in my 30s. And one thing that I've not been is a career anything. Like, I've been a career, like, creative. I've stayed in the creative field for the most part my whole entire life. But I've done different things. I've owned a t-shirt business. I've owned media stuff. I've done, you know, podcasting and websites and done a little graphic design and all this kind of stuff. And I've stayed in that lane of creativity, but I was never really sold on, like, I'm going to go do one thing for 30 years. Because much like what you said, I feel like I am a multi-hyphen person, multi-hyphen creator. And sometimes it takes experimenting to figure out how something works. You know, it's like people who develop product take a long time to develop that product, to figure out how stuff goes together and works and communicates and to launch it to the market. But yet we're supposed to figure it out in, you know, 3 to 4 years after our main school and then go like, okay, now you got to go do this for the rest of your life. I'm like, that's so unfair. And so I don't think people should go to college until after they're like 25, honestly. Like, if you want to go to college, like, go do a bunch of crap between 20 and 25 or 18 and 25 and then go to college and then figure it out. Like, because go dabble in stuff. Like, go be, go work for free for somebody for a couple of years. Go work for free for a graphic designer and eat crap and live on your couch and do whatever and see if you like that skill. Because we're wasting so much money and time, in my opinion, doing stuff that we hate. So I'm glad that I got on a little rabbit trail there. I apologize. I got on a rant, but we do lean too heavy on that. And I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of my questions for you.
I get on my soapbox about that on the podcast. Like, I think on every episode, I say how unfair it is to ask an 18-year-old, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? Because, I mean, I know 18-year-olds who have had the life experience of a 30-year-old, of a regular 30-year-old, because life just didn't treat them as well. They just got dealt curveballs that they shouldn't have been dealt with. And they can do it, but thank God it's not the majority. The majority still figuring out what they want to do in their life. Or worse, we asked 7-year-olds, oh, if a kid shows that they like Legos, oh, you're gonna work in construction. They're kids. They have a favorite dinosaur still. I still have a favorite dinosaur today. And that's why I want to say, like, be creative about your own life. Be creative about the things that you want to do. And you have no idea how many people I know that went to college and chose a random thing. They chose, you ask them, like, in Latin America, the most common one is business administration. It's like, oh, so you want to be in business? I don't know. I had to study something and I chose business administration because it looked pretty broad. And then they don't know what they want to do after. They graduate, they have this crisis. They, in the US, in Latin America too, they exit college in an insane amount of debt, not knowing if they even like the thing that they studied, and asking, what the hell am I going to do for the rest of my life? Like, what, I have this degree, what do I do with it? I mean, there are degrees you should have. I mean, if you're going to be a doctor, please go to medical school. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a lawyer, I think you should know the law. If you want to, I don't know, be anything you want. And also, we can change our minds. It's 100%. Okay. I remember when I started university, like my official university degree, I was 26 and my classmates were in their early, in their like 18, 19 up to 23 maybe. And they were like, oh my God, like when I'm your age, I want to be married with kids. And I'm like, I will lend you my 2-year-old nephew for a day. And then you tell me if you want to have kids now, because it's a lot. And I appreciate parents so much. It's like, that's a, y'all are super people. Honestly, I can barely parent myself right now. But yeah, be creative about your own life. Allow yourself to change your mind. And there are also so many things. We always look down on doing things on the side. Like, okay, you have your 9-to-5 job and you don't want to fully commit to this other thing. Maybe you can't. Maybe you cannot fully commit. How do I say this in a way that I don't sound arrogant or stupid? A lot of people in this world have responsibilities that keep them from plunging into a creative career.
Mm-hmm.
There is this TED talk about from Terry something. But if you look at it, it's like follow your passion. The talk is about passion. And she talks about, we always say like, follow your passion. And she says this example about the person how that idea is kind of elitist. And I think it is, because then you look at people who clean glass, people who sweep streets, people who work menial jobs, people who work in the trades, and say they have no passion, like, because that job is not passionate. Maybe their passion is keeping their family fed.
Yeah.
Maybe their passion is not being homeless. Maybe their passion is really they're creatives at home, but they need to keep the lights on their house. Like, why do we associate making money with being creative when you can be creative without making money and having a 9-to-5 that pays your bills? That is such a weird concept for me. And
And I agree 100%. I think sometimes on either side of the fence, right? If you're a creator or an entrepreneur, and I'll just say entrepreneur, maybe that covers, you know, people who work for themselves. But, you know, sometimes as an entrepreneur, if we're not careful, we can be like, oh, I can't believe somebody works 9-to-5. And then sometimes if somebody works, you know, 9-to-5 job, they got the salary, they get the benefits, they get the whole package, they go home to their, you know, their two kids and their picket fence. And then they look at creatives and entrepreneurs and they go, my gosh, I can't, how do you live that way? But I always just say, like, you know, it doesn't, either one is fine. Like, I don't, you know, for you, I don't feel like through my entrepreneurship journey, I've been both. I've been working as an entrepreneur and stuff is just not working out and sales are not coming in. And, you know, when I was in the t-shirt business and doing that, and I'm like, cool, I'm going to go work for somebody else. And I went and worked for a smoothie shop because I thought maybe I'd be interested in making a smoothie shop. You know, maybe I'd be interested in owning one. So I went and worked at a smoothie shop for a while, learned a ton about franchises, learned a ton about opening up stores, learned a ton about all that stuff. And so now I'm just more equipped as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as, you know, business scales or whatever we want to call it, that I have all these tools in my tool bag to go, cool, I think I have some ideas of how to do this. So, you know, if you're listening or you're watching, don't just take for granted that 9-to-5 job or the job that you're transitioning into something else. Like, figure out what it is you can take from there as, you know, lessons learned, or, you know, maybe you learn how to manage something, maybe you learn how to manage books or schedules or whatever. I mean, I don't know how to do something faster. Like, I figured out in that smoothie job, but like literally I got recognized for like coming up with a strategy to sell more peanut butter than any other store in the franchise. I'm like, cool. Like, I don't know, but it got me thinking about sales differently. You know, it just got me thinking different. So don't think, you know, on either side of the fence, like, it's really important that we support each other as people and not say, well, I'm better than you because I don't go to work or because I don't have to go work for somebody else, or I'm better than you because I got a steady paycheck and I don't have to, you know, worry about it. I think, like, just be happy for one another and support each other in that, because I think our system in the world has just said, like, if you don't do A, B, and C, and D, then you're a failure. And I just don't think it's true. I think it's way more gray area than black and white, in my opinion, especially from a creator perspective. So
totally. And how you compile your life's knowledge and your experiences and you remix them into something new, that is also creative. That is also creative thinking. That is absorbing and learning. And we're all, like, since we're born, we survive because we're curious. We developed as a people, as a race, as a humanity, as a society, because we were curious from the beginning, because somebody said, huh, what if I lick that? What will happen?
I always wondered this question, like, who just walked out into a field and grabbed off this fruit and just ate it. Like, how weird is that? Like, I always think about stuff. I probably spend way too much time thinking about who was that person and what were they like.
You know what? Yeah. Like, who looked at pig's feet and said, I'm going to eat that?
Probably the person that was so, they're just so hungry. They're like, I got to eat this whole thing because I'm just starving.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like people, we always like say that this is the hype of creativity, that this time is like, we're right now living in the hype of creativity. I don't think we are. I think the dark ages, prehistory, like people were way more creative before because they had to be, because it's like, I'm either creative or I die. It's one or the other. We survive. Like, creativity and curiosity were key parts of survival.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is this guy, Stuart Williams. He works in something. I met him in Clubhouse. Great guy. I wish I could go to the US and take a course with him because it's very interesting. And he has this phrase that always impacted me, that we always look down on poor people and think that they are dumb and that they don't have the skills. But the truth is that poor people are the most creative and entrepreneurial people that there is, because they survive. Because for them, being creative is survival. Figuring out, how am I going to make these $10 a day last me? How am I going to feed my family with this that I could gather from scratch jobs and from scratching money on the street? And they figure it out because they're creative. It's a thing called survival. And yeah, then some of us, the rest privilege of us, get to be creative as, I'm gonna design this fun logo, I'm gonna make this video, and so on. And we're lucky and we're blessed that we can be creative for the sake of being creative. But for creativity, everybody knows it, everybody learns it. It's about unclogging it. It's about unlearning certain things, unlearning that if you don't do it for a living, it's not valid. Unlearning that there is a good creativity and a bad creativity. Unlearning that these mental blockages of imposter syndrome, like we all, like we say that imposter syndrome, it's only for creatives. No, it's for everybody. It's because we have these expectations of ourselves. Like, athletes can get imposter syndrome. People in any job can get like, am I really that good? Like, am I getting this compliment because I actually deserve it? Or did I do a good job? Was this thing that I made actually good? What? And in the case of creatives, it really clocks us. It really, I don't want to say constipate us because that has to do with poop, but I cannot think of another word. It makes us creatively constipated.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, and it's interesting too, because I think, you know, like, one, I love that you said that we all deal with imposter syndrome, even if it is the job that doesn't seem creative or somebody offers us a promotion, like, oh, do we deserve this? Can we do the job? Am I the right person? You know, I mean, I've dealt with this my whole entire life. But one thing I think you said that you nailed it is managing expectations. This is something that my wife and I talk a lot about, is, and really for ourselves, but then also a lot of people around us, because oftentimes we are kind of, you know, steered in one direction or the other based on the things that we think, the false expectations that we put on others for us, if that makes any sense. So we're like expecting that they have expectations for us to like solve their expectations for
meta.
Us, whatever. Yeah, it's very meta. And it's just like,
it's very meta.
And it keeps us trapped. And I know I've been in that situation. So is this what, I mean, tell me that, you know, something that you've done to change your, like, the holding onness of expectations. Because I think this is a powerful thing. If people can, and I can't even put it into words, but I think if people can break this expectations and allowing other people's either true or false expectations of them control them, they'll go to another level in their creativity. So how are you able to do that? Or how do you do that on a daily basis, I guess?
Well, for me, it always gets harder because as creatives, when we do creative things, we look at things in the middle because we're part of the entire process. We see it from conception. We expect things to turn out a certain way. Then we make it halfway through and it doesn't look like that. And we start freaking out. It's like, why doesn't it look better? Why isn't this working? And then we stop. And this is the point where we say we stop. It's like, this is not good enough. This is garbage. This makes no sense. It's nothing how I thought it would be. And then we stop and we become blocked. So when I get in those moments, I always tell myself a surgery halfway through is a murder.
Oh, wow. All right. A surgery halfway through is a murder. Yeah. Okay.
If you think about it, surgery, it's opening a human being. And if you're looking, if you just walk into it halfway through, it's technically a murder. It's at least assault.
But then when you make it
to the end, it's this amazing life-saving process. So my recommendation to people would be divide your expectations, break them down into little ones. What is exactly, like if you have this gigantic concept, breaking down into little things that you can stay motivated about, make little goals. So if you, let's say you're making a podcast, let's say you're making a podcast episode and it's going to be 2 hours, break it down into little parts. Like what are the, minimum viable product, like the MVP for when you're making an app. It's like, what is the minimal thing you need to achieve to feel like you achieved something? And then you jump from that goal to the next one. And then, I can do this. This is tiny and easy. I did it. Okay, I'm going to jump from here to the next one. So give yourself those little stairs. Like make the stairs as little as possible so you can jump off them. And that will give you impulse for the next one, because maybe something you thought would take you 2 hours actually took you 10 minutes. Because probably an hour and a half, you were going to be doubting yourself. And then you were going to go to 20 minutes of planning, and then you have 10 minutes left. And then that's the 10 minutes that you're going to do the thing. So if you break it down to little achievable goals, it would make it a lot easier, because you have constantly been achieving things. You have been like, my goal was to gather materials, and I found all these materials. Yay me. And go on to the next one, but don't stop. I think it's, like I started doing CrossFit like three months ago. And what my coach keeps telling me is like, don't stop. Whatever you do, go slower if you have to, but don't stop. Because when you stop, you start overthinking. You start thinking, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? I just did my first box jump last week ever. And it was that thing that I could do it. He could see that I could do it. I thought that maybe I could, but that's the thing. I was thinking about it. He was like, don't think about it. Just do it. Don't think about it. And I tripped a couple of times. Then when I made the first one, I was like, yeah, I can do this. So the second one was easier. And then when it got harder, he just told me, don't stop. Just keep jumping, keep moving. There is this movie, Robots. I think it's a Pixar movie. They said, no, wait, which one? I said, no, it's not movies. It's Keep Up with the Robinsons, maybe. It's about this kid that goes to the future, and the whole moral of the story is keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. Just keep making. And if you get lost in the process, just make something simple, make something easy. And just remind yourself, because by creating new things, maybe it's a doodle on a post-it that has nothing to do with your project, but you did a thing, and that is going to propel you to the next one. It's going to get you out of that loop of, can I actually make something? Yeah. You made a doodle on a post-it. Yes, you did it.
Yeah, I love this. I love this process, because I'm that person who my whole life I've been somewhat of a perfectionist. I'll put it this way. If something has instructions and I follow the instructions and I don't get the result that it says, then I'm very irritated. And so I've had to like... and then my wife is the other... She's the opposite side. She is like... instructions, nobody needs it, we'll figure it out. And she typically does, but she might build it wrong 3 times. And I'm like, I don't want to build it wrong 3 times. I want to build it right the first time, and their instructions should have been the correct instructions, and they're not, and they're idiot, you know. And I just go down this whole rabbit trail of why they shouldn't be making this. And children's toys are the worst, by the way. But I have been learning, even in my mid-30s now, to enjoy the process. Even if it's tough, even if it doesn't make sense, and we've done a lot of crazy things, and you know, you've moved, you've lived in different countries, and you know, that is a process in itself. And when we moved to Puerto Rico, it was like this mountain, and then once we moved here and we went through the process and we understood. Now, I learned a lot. I learned about shipping dogs. I learned about, you know, flying on airplanes with a toddler and, you know, packing a bunch of crap in four suitcases. Like, I've learned how to do stuff. And so I think that is the, you know, when we're in this creative process, no matter what it is, no matter what kind of job or whatever, you're right. Like, break this thing down, eat an elephant one bite at a time, and like celebrate those little micro wins, if you will. And I think that is something too that we struggle with as people, is like, celebrate yourself. If you draw that little stick figure on a post-it note because you want to become an artist, like, celebrate that thing. You know, like, I don't know, post it on the internet and cheer yourself on. Like, who knows? Like, celebrate it. Go have a beer and say, woo, look what I did. And it makes you feel good and wants you to do it again and again and again. So, and same with podcasting. I mean, I still record episodes and do live stream shows that are like just bomb. I mean, I just bomb them. I'm like, oh, I did a terrible job, blah, blah, blah. But I learn from it and I move on and I keep going. And so I think that's, I love that you said that, like, break up those little expectations, get those little wins, celebrate yourself, and continue to move on. So would you say that's one of your biggest lessons, or to kind of bring the show and kind of wrap it up, what would be like one of the biggest lessons that you've learned that maybe you carry it with you in every project that you do? What would that be?
I think it is that things happened and you have the skills to handle whatever happens. I think with creatives, we hold on and we start with a concept, an idea, with a vision. And then we become so fixated in realizing this vision that we close ourselves to other ideas, other projects. And then when the vision doesn't come out the way we expected, then we're like, oh, I suck because I had an idea and I didn't realize it. So this is terrible. But the thing is that in that journey of creating, whatever it is you're creating, you're going to discover something new and you're going to learn something new and you're going to take that lesson into the next thing you create. Maybe if you're making a cake, you're going to be like, oh, maybe I don't have eggs. It's going to suck. I should stop making this. Yeah. I mean, in that case, please go get the eggs, because the recipe, like, I don't know much about baking. That's one thing I know, is that you need to keep the ingredients, right? But maybe you'll discover, okay, I made this cake. I'm going to decorate it. Oh, maybe I never thought that I could decorate with fruit, and I have fruit in the fridge. So I just like put fruit and I just make banana bread, or I don't know. What I'm saying is, like, be open to the process and allow yourself to keep your vision, like, hold your vision, but don't hold it too tightly. Because then you're limiting your own creative journey. If you decide, I am only going to paint with three colors, so like with blue, yellow, and red, which are the basic colors, and so I'm only going to paint with these three. Yeah, but at some point, willingly or unwillingly, they're going to mix, and you're going to have oranges, and you're going to have greens, and you're going to have purples. And you're going to have, you started with three, your plan was to have just three, but then maybe by accident they mixed up and suddenly you have all these colors that you never could imagine your piece would have. And now they fit somehow. They naturally fit. And that applies to business. Like, maybe you had this idea of a concept, but then turns out your market was something different or a variation of it that you never thought you would be in, but then suddenly surprised you are. And that applies to so many things. Like, just be open for things to happen and for you to give a creative response. And you're going to find things that you never thought possible. And maybe the exact thing you want happens, amazing. Maybe a different thing happens, great. Maybe you fail, then you learn something, great. You know what you failed at, and you will probably not make that mistake again. And hopefully it will not be $1 million mistake. I really, from the bottom of my heart, I hope nobody makes $1 million mistake, because that must hurt. But yeah, just be open, be accepting of things and answer creatively to them.
Yeah, I love it. I love, have some grace, have some mercy on yourself, be willing to pivot. I love that, because I think that is such a part. If anybody says, do this, this, and that as a creator, as a business owner, entrepreneur, or probably even in your day job, it's like, I mean, there's a chance it's just not going to happen that way. So be open and be willing to pivot. Alex, I love it. Is there anything that I didn't always ask this question? Is there anything that I didn't talk about that you wanted to cover or set you up for? I know this was great. I love just having a conversation with another creator. I didn't feel pressured to bring a list of questions. So it's always a fun time when we get to chat. I just want to make sure I give you another opportunity if I forgot something you wanted to share.
No, I think we covered everything. I think, give me 1 second. Yeah, I think we covered everything. It's just cool. Like be graceful with yourself, chill. Just, I mean, most things have a solution. There are very few problems in this life that absolutely don't have a solution. If you're a creative, there are very few things. And honestly, like I have a podcast, like you said, I haven't posted an episode in 3 weeks because honestly, I got busy creating other things. I could have been like, done, I'm quitting. I didn't keep up. Week 27, like 27 episodes went perfectly out, and then I missed this one. I need to be graceful with myself, and I still love editing episodes and making the podcast and having interviews. It's still really fun to me, so I'll continue to do it. Like, if it's my side thing, if it's my side hustle, it's meant to be fun. It's a creative outlet. It's meant to be fun. Keep it fun. Keep it light. Any little dabble of joy that you can find somewhere, take it. And if there's a topic that you're not super interested in, find something to hold on to your life. If you have a boring lecture or something that you don't like, find the one thing that you can hold on to that can hold your attention, and that will propel you into other steps. So always look for those little leapfrogs, for that it's like we're all just trying to find the next step, and the next step might not be what you expected, but there is a next step somewhere. Just have to be a little bit creative to find it.
Love it. That is such great advice. Just move the needle, find your next step. Alejandra, really appreciate you jumping on with me, and I'm definitely going to have you back on the show again. I know you sent me a fun list of topics that we could have talked about, so definitely have you on. But thank you so much for being on here, and I got all the ways that people can get in touch with you, so I'm going to leave it in the show notes and the show description. So really appreciate you being on.
Perfect, Billy. Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. Anytime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And that is my friend Alejandra, amazing podcaster, amazing graphic designer, creative thinker. You can tell she's not stuck in a box. And so hopefully that you're inspired, you're encouraged, maybe a little entertaining as we were working through some tech difficulties, but that's part of it. I didn't just hit the stop button. I didn't just say, well, forget it. We'll just do it some other time. I just went through the process and figured that out as she was talking about and telling us how to do that. So be sure to check out her podcast. It is called Do I Need School to Be ... So go look that up. And where she's having some amazing interviews with people talking about, do I need to go to school to do these kinds of things? And it sounds like that her and I really jive and think mentally about the school system kind of the same way. So anyway, join us tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to be here with my friend Katie Brinkley talking about dominating with audio. She's been in radio. She has a podcast. She does social audio, and she is dominating on these platforms and growing her business and growing her audience. And so join me tomorrow at 2 p.m. I'm going to bring her on to talk about it. And I do want to say, and I didn't want to interrupt the conversation too much during the live stream, I want to say hi to my friend Michael Steele over in Sweden, to John over there on, it looks like, LinkedIn as well. And then, as always, my good friend Nee over here in Clubhouse, and Joe and Drew and John Sear for joining me. Really appreciate you all. And we'll see you tomorrow at 2 p.m. Once again, I'm going to be talking with Katie Brinkley about how you dominate with audio.